Hardening heart. We saw that in Galatians chapter 5, Paul recorded for us to see exactly what a heart that was overflowing for God looks like. We came to understand that when a person has chosen to please the heart of God and is walking daily with the Lord, that is that they are going to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. Church, they cannot help but displaying the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts that God has given them, because they are so full of God from being in the presence of God. We learn that the prominent attributes of an overflowing heart that Paul gave us are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. We also learn that not many people, not even Christians, exhibit these qualities on a regular basis. And that's not God's doing, it's all our doing. Today, as we continue on this heart issue series, we're going to be looking at a wise and a foolish heart. A wise and a foolish heart. Now, in our minds, especially, I want to challenge my Wednesday night crowd. If we are seeking to find where in the world you would find a wise heart, what book in the Bible would you go to? Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. That's exactly right. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. Yes, Angie, I'm going to touch on our scripture that you and I love so much. Proverbs chapter 1. Again, today's message is entitled, A Picture of a Wise and a Foolish Heart. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 20 says, Wisdom calls out in the street. Did y'all notice that wisdom is given a gender here? Guys, should we be offended here? Listen, he gives it a gender. Wisdom calls out in the street. She raises her voice in public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. How long, foolish ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking? And you fools hate knowledge. How long? If you turn to my discipline, then I'll pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. Now listen, pay close attention to verse 24. Since I called and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention, since you neglected all of my counsel and did not accept my correction, I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you, then they will call to me. Not before, then they will call to me. But I won't answer. They will search for me, but won't find me. Because they hated knowledge and didn't choose to fear the Lord. Were not interested in my counsel and rejected all of my correction. They will eat the fruit of their way and be glutted and be glutted by their own schemes. For the waywardness of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live securely and be free from the fear of danger. Let's pray. Lord, in this short time that we have as a congregation of Shevis Oaks Baptist Church, let us be awakened by your word. Let us feel your presence. Let us know you're here. Lead us, guide us, direct us, open us, open our eyes, ears, and our hearts. Wake us and shake us, God. Help us to retain this message, not because of the messenger, but because of you, Lord God. We need a fresh message. We need a fresh touch from you right now. So let us receive it now. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Revive us, refresh us, renew us, restore us. Replace all the iniquity in our hearts, Lord, with your righteousness. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Why was this book written? The book of Proverbs. Why in the world was this book written? We must first understand who it was that wrote most of these Proverbs, being Solomon. Solomon was given credit for asking God for righteous discernment or wisdom by the writer of this book in 1 Kings. Look at 1 Kings. I'm going to read it if you won't have time to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 3 records why this book was written or how Solomon got all this wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 7 says, Lord my God, you now made your servant king in my father David's place. Yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. Your servant is among your people. You have chosen a people too numerous to be numbered or counted. So give me, your servant, an obedient heart to judge your people and discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had requested this. So God said to him, because you requested this and did not ask for long life or riches for yourself or death or of your enemies, but ask discernment for yourself to understand justice, I will therefore do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has never been anyone like you before and never will be again. Listen, we need to pray this same prayer that Solomon prayed for, a discerning heart that will understand what's taking place. If ever in a time in the world we needed it, Steve, it's right now. Brother Crawford, it's right now. Brother Taylor, it's right now. We need understanding. We need to understand what's taking place in this world, because it seems as if those who are in leadership don't understand. It doesn't seem like they're praying for this discernment, does it not? We need to pray for this on a daily basis. So as we read 1 Kings, we need to understand this. Solomon is qualified, most definitely qualified, to write what he has written in the book of Proverbs. His stamp of approval is in Kings. Brother Gary, he's qualified. So if he's qualified, we need to listen to him. We need to understand that he knows what he is talking about. Y'all remember those old E.F. Hutton commercials? People are out there, and they're in a large crowd, and you hear all this kind of noise, and this woman and this man are sitting there, and this woman says, I went to E.F. Hutton, and he said, and everybody's like, listen, if Solomon's saying it, we need to pay attention, because wisdom is getting ready to come out of his mouth. Truth is, he probably should have listened to his own wisdom later on in life, shouldn't he? Surely should have. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon so that anyone who would read these Proverbs would gain wisdom. Church, so we are not stretching here by saying that if you desire to have a wise heart, you will heed the words that are written in this book, correct? That's why I've told you. That's why I've told my children. That's why I tell my Wednesday night crowd every chance I get to talk to y'all. Listen, if you're not reading daily in your Bible, first of all, listen, if you're not reading your Bible, don't ask why you can't understand what God's doing in your life. The whole book is wisdom. But if you can't hear God, your ear is in the wrong direction. You need to open the Word of God and you'll hear from Him every single day. There's never a time where I've opened the Word of God that God hadn't spoken to me. Not one time. Ever. Ever. Listen to the words Solomon wrote as to why he is writing these Proverbs. He tells us exactly why he is writing these Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and being instructed for understanding, insightful sayings, for receiving wise instruction and righteousness, justice and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to the young man. Listen, y'all people hear that? Hey, Cameron, look here, buddy. Listen. for knowledge and discernment to the young man. A wise man will listen and increase his learning, and discerning man will obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. Here's verse 7. Listen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The focal passage of this book that must be understood if you're going to understand and follow any other proverb is Proverbs 1:7. Now, we just read Proverbs 1:7. If you do not fear the Lord, then these proverbs are not going to mean anything to you. They will not direct your path. They will not today nor any other day help you in your life if you do not heed to Proverbs 1:7. Most likely, they will not even make sense to you because you cannot even begin to understand the complexities of wisdom until you start at the very beginning. And the very beginning is the fear of the Lord. Bunch of wisdom in Proverbs. It'll help you, listen, it'll help you in every aspect of your life. But it all starts with Proverbs 1:7. You've got to fear the Lord. Do you realize that He can take you out today, right now? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord because He is a righteous God. Amen? And He deserves us to love Him and to fear Him. Brother Kyle, I see that. Brother Solomon was qualified. We need to listen to him. He was definitely certified to write these proverbs. Well, you know, what is it? How did you see what you saw? How can a person have a wise heart for God? Now, understand right now that just as Solomon had a choice, so do you. God gave him that choice and said, you know, what do you want? Solomon said, I want to understand. I want to discern how to lead this numerous people that you've given them. That was his choice. Just as Solomon had a choice, so do you this morning. We all have the choice to either be wise in the Lord or to be foolish. Any in between? Is there any in between there? You have a choice to be wise in the Lord or to be foolish. It's our choice. If God was making this choice for us, He would choose for us to be wise. If you desire to have a wise heart, then pay attention. If you want to continue to have a foolish heart, well, you've probably stopped listening already. The choice is yours. Do you want to have a wise heart? Well, let's start at the beginning. Look at verse 20. Verse 20. Wisdom calls out in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. And just, you know, to calm you men down, this could be he as well as she, okay? Although women probably are smarter than men. She cries out above the commotion and speaks at the city, at the entrance of the city gates. What's being said here? How can you have a wise heart? We saw it right there. Did y'all see it? Miss Desi, did you see it? This is what we need to do. Listen. Brother Frank, did you get that? She's crying at the city gates. She's crying through the streets. Well, all we need to do is listen. Listen to what or to whom? Listen to the Holy Spirit of God who is crying out the ways of wisdom all day, every day, and follow the direction of God through the Word of God. Okay, that's step one. Listen. Is that hard so far, Glenn? I mean, is that hard? I mean, y'all don't even have to write that down. I've got this. Okay, if I want a wise heart, number one, listen. Listen. Well, what else is there? Look at verse 23. Verse 23. If you turn to my discipline, oh. If you turn to my discipline, Then I will pour out my Spirit on you and teach you my words. Number two, verse 23. Accept God's discipline for what you know you've done wrong. Is there anybody in here who likes discipline? No. You know, there was never a time when I was a child when my dad got home and I walked up to dad and I said, "Dad, hey, listen, it's great that you're home. It's good to see you. Good to see you, Dad. Hey, listen, I need a beating. You have not beat me in a while, and I've missed it. I missed it, Dad. So I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to go ahead and do what you always tell me to do. I'm going to assume the position. And go, listen, go get the belt, and I want you to beat me, like you say, until your arm is worn out. Beat me." Is there anybody in here who wants to sign up for discipline? No, I didn't. I didn't like that kind of, I didn't. But see, God's discipline opens our eyes to who He is. It opens our eyes to what He wants us to be. Listen, when God disciplines us, it's not necessarily a bad thing. We look at discipline as a bad thing. God, discipline me that I might know your ways. I might walk in your ways. Show me what I've done wrong. You know, I believe that there are a lot of Christians, good-hearted Christians, who have never repented because they're so self-righteous they won't acknowledge that they've done anything wrong. It's hard for especially men to say, "I was wrong." Y'all remember Happy Days? I know y'all don't. Y'all remember Happy Days? There was one thing that Fonzie couldn't say. Y'all remember? "I'm sorry." He couldn't, because when you're saying "I'm sorry," you're admitting that you're wrong. You did something wrong, and I've never done anything wrong. Listen, yes, you have. Scripture says that if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. Church, listen to me. We need to be able to go to God and ask God to discipline us. So here we go. Listen, number one, if you want a heart that's pleasing unto God, you need to listen. Number two, you need to accept God's discipline. Anything hard so far? We good? All right, we'll move on to step three. Listen. Church, that's it. What's next? That's it. Does it sound too difficult of a task to have a wise heart? All God tells us to do is listen, heed to what we hear, and repent from what we're doing wrong. Listen, heed, repent. If having a wise heart is so simple, then why do we not see more people desiring to have wise hearts for God? I'm glad you asked, because Solomon also tells us how to have a foolish heart. Matter of fact, he tells us a little more about foolish hearts than he does about wise hearts. You all do understand the benefits of being wise, right? There are benefits to being wise. When you are wise, a wise person, have a wise heart for God, you are less likely to make wrong decisions. Y'all listening to you? When you have a wise heart, desire to have a wise heart for God, listen, you're a whole lot less likely to make wrong decisions. Or in our words today, you are less likely to do something that is dumb. Anybody ever done something that's dumb? Well, he's talked about a wise heart. Okay, well, how do you have a foolish heart? Y'all ready? Y'all awake? Here we go. How to have a foolish heart. Don't listen when God is crying out. Don't heed the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. And don't repent for something that you know that you've done wrong. That's how to have a foolish heart. I see what you did there, preacher man. I see what you did there. You reversed the roles. Yes, I did. But Solomon addresses the fool more in this scripture than the wise. Listen to what Solomon says to the fool. Look at verse 22. Let's read verse 22. It says, How long? There's a length of time here. Foolishness just isn't a little time. It's a long time when you get bound up into foolishness. He says, how long, foolish ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking? And you fools hate knowledge. Woo! I like Solomon. Solomon didn't beat around the bush, did he? Not only does the fool not listen, will not heed to what he hears, nor repent for his wrongdoings, but verse 22 says that he does other things. Number one, he loves ignorance. Any of y'all know any of those people? It blows my mind, the world that we live in, where right is called wrong and wrong is called right. People are standing up in droves for what is wrong, holding signs and waving flags for what is wrong, scripturally wrong, culturally wrong, socially wrong. But you see nothing, nobody standing up, no voice for what is right. Solomon says, listen, you love ignorance. You who have a foolish heart, you love ignorance. Not only that, listen, you prefer ignorance over wisdom.
I don't need wisdom. I'm wise enough.
I know
you're wise enough. I know you
have enough, because I don't see you on Sunday nights when we have service, and I don't see you on Wednesday nights, and I don't see you. Listen, you have enough. You're wise enough. You don't need any more of God. Not only that, listen, he says this. A foolish person mocks wisdom. They mock wisdom. You mean to tell me that God says this? Well, I don't believe that. Mock him. I don't believe that God really meant what he said and said what he meant. Really? I tell you what, why don't you ask him about it when you stand before him here in a short period of time? I could go on the mocking. We see people mocking God every single day. Well, I've got to do what I've got to do, Brother Kyle. No, you don't. You really don't. Listen, but he says this. Not only do they love ignorance, do they mock wisdom, but they hate knowledge. Can't stand it. Who are these people? They're church-going people. They come to church on Sunday morning, dress nice, put cologne on, clean clothes. And you ask them, did you hear a word from God this week in your study? I just don't understand the word of God. Y'all listen, I'm not a smart fella. I've told y'all I've not hidden anything from y'all. Hey, listen, I didn't like the ninth grade both times I was in it. You mean to tell me that I can open this Bible and I can understand what God is saying and you can't? Come on. Listen, if you don't want wisdom, you're going to find a reason not to accept it. A foolish heart hates wisdom. Solomon said it. Don't get mad at me. Solomon tells us there are definite consequences to choosing what is choosing a foolish heart. Look at verse 24. Definite consequences to choosing to have a foolish heart. Since I called out and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention. Excuse me. Since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction, I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble comes, when trouble and stress overcome you, then they will call out to me, but I won't answer. They will search for me, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge. Didn't choose to fear the Lord. We're not interested in my counsel. There's definite consequences to choosing a foolish heart. Definite consequences to choosing a foolish heart. Youth, there are definite consequences to choosing a foolish heart. Parents of these youth, when they make a choice later on and you didn't like the choice they made, or you know it was not a scriptural choice, look at them and tell them there are consequences to making a foolish choice. Show them this scripture. Well, what are the consequences? Number one, wisdom will laugh at your calamity. Not if it comes, when it comes. This scripture says that wisdom will laugh at your calamity. Well, that's not very nice. Don't have a foolish heart. Well, how can I not have a foolish heart? Get in the Word of God. Is any of this hard so far? Am I making it too hard? I'm going to stop right here for a second. I'm going to solve a major world issue right now. Jim, you might want to call some military advisors after this message is over. Okay? Do you know why there's so many dumb people in this world? Anybody know? Because they refuse wisdom. They refuse it. I don't need wisdom. Yes, you do. I don't need that God stuff. I promise you do, buddy. Yes, you do. Not only that, listen, wisdom will laugh when calamity comes. Wisdom will mock when terror comes. Y'all read it, didn't you? Did it say if terror comes? It said when terror comes. When terror comes. Well, you know, I'm young. I've got time. I've got plenty of time. Terror's not going to come my way. Oh, yeah, it will. In the middle of the night when you don't expect it, terror will overcome you. And listen, if you don't have the wisdom of God, you're not even going to want to call on God. You know, there's been times in my life, youth, and I'm not really a scaredy cat, but there's been times where I've been places where I haven't really liked being. I've been called to, I don't know if I've told you this or not. In my last church, I had a pastor call me and say, "Look, guys, I need your help." He called on four different pastors, and he said, "Okay, well, what do you need help with?" He said, "A lady called me, and she said her husband is possessed, and he wants us to come to the house, pray around the outside of the house, then go in the house and pray on the inside of the house, and then just gather around him and pray around him." Now, Mr. White, I don't go see them scary movies where the little girl projectile vomits and spins her head around. No. And, y'all have seen the commercials. Y'all have seen those commercials. You don't have to go to the movies to see the trailers anymore. They show them on TV. The little girl's walking down the hall, and something out of nowhere grabs her and yanks her. I don't want any part of that. None. But I want to tell you, when that guy called me, I mean, how can you refuse that request? Come. But I was scared. And just as you can feel the presence of God, hopefully when you walk into this sanctuary, when I stepped foot out of my car and I just looked at that house, I could feel the presence of evil. I could. Y'all remember back in the 70s, late 70s, when they had that old, the scariest movie of all time, The Amityville Horror? Y'all remember that? My babysitter took me to that. I don't know, a hateful woman. Why would you do that to a child? I was like 9 years old. You don't do that, Miss Desi, to a 9-year old. Yes, she thought it was funny. But you know, every time I see that picture of the Amityville Horror House, I mean, it scares me to death. Y'all remember? Get out! I'm gone. You ain't got to tell me twice. Get out! And the guy stayed there. Flies all over the window. No, sir. Hey, listen, me and Caleb, we got it there. When terror strikes you, listen, a wise heart knows to call on the name of Jesus. When you feel the evil presence, and listen, you if you're enlightened to God, you'll feel it in your own house. You don't think evil doesn't try to come in those doors when we assemble to praise God? Oh, yeah. A foolish heart won't know to call out to Jesus. Won't know how to dispel evil. But it gets more. Listen, when calamity comes, he says this, when calamity comes to your life, because you did not choose wisdom, when you call out to, in your distress to finally receive wisdom, wisdom's call, verse 28 says, they will call out but will not answer. I'm ready now. I'm scared to death. I'm in the midst of calamity. I need your help. Wisdom, you called out to me. Now I'm calling out to you. Listen, wisdom's saying, nope. They will search for me but will not find me. Why? Why would wisdom do this to those who have fallen into despair? Verse 29 tells us why. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Hey, you keep hating God. You keep turning your back on God. You keep closing your Bible, putting it up on the bookshelf, never opening it, never looking at it. And I promise you, when terror comes, when calamity comes, when chaos comes in your life, and you finally say, okay, I'm ready now. Lord, please give me wisdom. Wisdom's going to say, no, you eat it for a while. I warned you and I told you it was coming. Anybody want to sign up for that? You don't have to. You can choose to have a heart for God, a wise heart for God, right here in a second. Right now, here in a second. Hey, listen, church. Can I give you a few illustrations right here, right now? Listen, will you listen to me for just a few more minutes? I promise you, I'm just about done. I want to give you some illustrations. Are you with me? Everybody say amen. Are you awake? I want to give you some major illustrations here. Listen to me. I bet you every dime that the preacher ought not bet. Well, this is the good kind. Y'all ready? Listen. I bet you every dime that I have in my bank account, which is not a whole lot, that person who just got a DUI last night and is going to get another one, maybe this weekend, because, hey, it's Labor Day. We got to go out and drink because it's Labor Day, right? Got Monday off. I've got to have something to drink. Everybody else, listen, I've got to do it. Everybody else is doing it. Listen, I bet you that person who gets a DUI this weekend, or better yet, the person who is going to run into a car and kill a little girl who's sitting in the back seat, I bet you he now wishes he would have listened to the wisdom of Proverbs 20 verse 1 that says, wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, and whoever staggers because of them is not wise. I bet you he wishes he would have listened to this. Or how about the wisdom of Proverbs 23, 29 through 21? Who is of sorrow? Who has conflicts? Who has complaints? Who has wounds for no reason? Who has red eyes? Who linger over wine? Who goes looking for mixed wine? Don't gaze at wine because it is red. When it gleams in the cup or when it goes down smoothly, it ends in a bite like a snake that stings like a viper. I bet you they wish they would have looked at that wisdom and received that wisdom. Don't you? Now, listen, let's go another step. I bet you Jared, the Subway guy, y'all know Jared? I bet you Jared, the Subway guy from the commercials, wishes that he would have listened to the wisdom of Proverbs 27, 20 that says, hell and damnation are never full. So are the eyes of man never satisfied. I bet he wished he would have listened to that bit of wisdom. I bet you that the man who was caught in an adulterous affair wishes that he would have listened to the wisdom of Proverbs 7, verse 6 through 27, and Proverbs 5, verse 1 through 14. I'd be willing to guess, church, that there are millions of women who have come to the end of their lives and wish that they would have followed the model of womanhood written in Proverbs 31. It's right there. Read it. Apply it. Repent. Listen, church, I believe there are countless billions of people who wish every single day that they could come back to life and heed the warning in Proverbs 29:1. One who becomes stiff-necked after many reprimands will be broken suddenly and without remedy. But they wish they could come back and heed the warnings of that wise scripture. Church, wisdom is crying out to you right now. Right now. Will you choose wisdom? Please understand that you may never be given this opportunity to choose wisdom ever again. Why not choose wisdom before calamity comes, before distress comes? Why not? Choose wisdom, God's wisdom, right now. What kind of heart do you choose to have right now, church? In the presence of God, in the house of God, in the presence of this holy assembly of God, what kind of heart do you choose to have right now? Do you choose to have a wise heart? Then listen to the Spirit of God. Follow the direction of God and repent for what you know that you've done is wrong in the sight of God. If you choose to have a foolish heart, you don't have to do anything. Just keep doing what you're doing. Soon and very soon, though, you'll realize that you've made the wrong choice. And when you cry out for wisdom, you will realize that you're too late. The choice is yours. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. What choice will you make? Lord Jesus, I pray that every person in this assembly will choose to have a wise heart for you. It's their choice. You've never made anybody choose you, God, but that's the right choice to make. If there's one here in this assembly today who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Holy Spirit, please give them the power just to take one step down this aisle. I'll show them what the Word of God says they must do to inherit eternal life. It's not a Baptist thing. It's a God thing. God, give them the strength to step out. Take the first step towards you. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move right now. That hearts will be changed for you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?